Welcome to the Accredited Canadians Toolkit. It's Wednesday, January 17th, 2024, and I'm your host, Sam Perrin. I had a run-in with one of my family's strata councils recently. Before I tell the story, I'll share with those unfamiliar that a strata is an ownership structure where an apartment building or condo building is owned by a large group of people who typically live in the building. This living arrangement is typically more affordable than a single-family home, but there are ownership decisions that need to be made, such as maintenance of the common areas and building components, services like trash collection, and the arbitration of disputes between neighbors. These decisions are made by a group of representatives of owners who are voted in by the owners every year. These people are called the Strata Council. When a building or community is running adequately well, most people take little interest in the governance of it because they're busy leading their lives. Voter turnout is notoriously low in all sorts of elections, and strata annual general meetings, also called AGMs, are no exception. Low turnout is the norm. Serving on a strata council can present an opportunity to experience governance firsthand, and for many strata councils, many members who are elected have no prior experience with governance or prior experience in business. They volunteer their time, and the position comes with a modest amount of power. So naturally, this will attract some bad actors whose motivations is to lord over their neighbors. For my American listeners, this form of governance is similar to the homeowners associations you may have heard about in the news. One article that I have linked in the show notes accurately describes this type of ownership as being controlled by, quote, neighborhood governments that have brought abuse, acrimony, and seemingly absurd litigation, end quote. In the case of my family members' dispute, there were some minor alterations done to the inside of the unit, which included flooring, paint, and countertops. And the strata president, who is a rather sensitive person to noise, returned from holidays one day and noticed that the downstairs neighbor, my family member, had workers making noise associated to the upgrade. It was alleged that the noise was happening outside of allowed working hours after 5 p.m. One such incident happened during daylight savings clock adjustments, and the strata president strolled downstairs to tell the worker to be quiet because it was after hours. However, because the clock had fallen behind by 1 hour, it was not in fact 5:30, but instead 4:30. The strata president's error was not caught, and my family member received a $100 fine for noise. No evidence was presented, so a fine was issued without any due process. Furthermore, the Strata Corporation demanded that a permission form be filled out for the repairs to common property. Since there was no alteration being done to the common property and only to my family member's property inside the Strata lot, permission was not required in the bylaws. My family member asked for detail about the noise violation and stated any permission to make changes to her property was not required. My family member was given in response another fine, this time for $200, that would be issued for failure to fill out this permission form and for more alleged violations of the bylaw for noise. My family member asked for a meeting, as is her right, to be heard by the Strata Council, and at the meeting, the Strata President was very aggressive and yelled at her, "I don't like you, period." So the real motive for the fines became apparent. Despite his conduct, Strata decided to rescind her fine of $100 for the noise because there was no evidence of noise caused contrary to the bylaws. The Strata Council decided to insist that the permission form be filled out, however, retroactively for the alterations that had been completed, with the promise that if this form was not filled out, a $200 per week fine would be issued. The basis for this assertion is, in my view, a very thin case, and that is that there is a provision in the bylaw where permission is required to alter anything that the Strata Corporation is required to carry insurance coverage on. So I helped my family member draft a letter detailing why there is no need to ask for permission and that this position directly contradicts another section of the bylaws that explicitly states altered property within the strata lot that was not originally installed upon construction is not the responsibility of the Strata Corporation to insure. So since there were prior owners before my family member, there was no way for Strata to know if the alterations that were done were to original fixtures. So given the age of this building, it's unlikely that my family member modifications were the first time floors or paint or the kitchen was upgraded. So the requirement for this permission form by Strata and the threat to fine my family member $200 a week if they didn't comply is plainly a power move motivated by a personal vendetta of the Strata president against my family member. Now, you might be thinking the most expedient way to deal with this might have been just to fill out the permission form, but this course of action left my family member nervous that she would continue to be targeted by the Strata president unjustly. So it was decided that this was a fight that was worth seeing through to its end in an attempt to educate the Strata council about what the bylaw actually means. The unfortunate thing is that the people charged with governing this Strata corporation and who have been voted in are unfamiliar with law in general, and they don't understand the bylaws that they're attempting to enforce. So today's letter cost me several hours researching and formulating the argument, but I believe it will be successful, and I'm happy to help a family member. I will try to remember to share the outcome of this dispute in a future episode. The point I'm trying to make with this story is that whenever possible, in business, avoid a democracy. A democracy is fine and preferred when dealing with very large groups of people, such as an entire country, where the cost of the friction between the politicians is diluted among the entire population. As a high-value Canadian, where your time is one of your most valuable resources, the cost of becoming embroiled in fighting with unprofessional people who are unsuited to hold any sort of power is very high cost. The cost is peace of mind. It could also include significant monetary costs for hiring legal help or for paying unjust fines or maybe for paying special assessments because finances were mismanaged by inexperienced people. When considering buying an investment property, if you can afford to own freehold property like a single-family home not governed by an ownership agreement, you're going to find your cost of ownership is likely lower and your peace of mind will be higher. I've owned several Strata units and I served on Strata Council for these. These were self-managed Strata. At that time, and the infighting was much worse than what I've just described, so you can only imagine. Now, they were a useful investment for me at the time because they required very little investment capital to get into them, but I've since sold all of them, and I'm grateful both for the experience and for the profits that I've made. But I'm confident that I'll never purchase this type of property again because of the headaches and costs associated with group ownership. Strata corporations and other smaller groups just don't have a large enough base of people to support their own cost of governance, and thus they rely on volunteers who are giving up their time to do this for free. And you know the saying that you get what you pay for. Free advice is free for a reason, and that's usually because it's not very valuable, and you're going to pay in another way. So in conclusion, in my opinion, it's that in business, it's better to have a dictatorship with a singular, competent leader who controls everything. Most successful companies have a singular CEO who is an expert in their field. People buy shares in these companies but do not exert control in them. I hope this gives you something to ponder. The ACT Show is for today and tomorrow's high-value Canadians who, rather than let things happen, make things happen. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share. Talk to you again soon. And instead of only wishing for a great day, make it one. I invite you to act.